Ca donate. Oh. Interesting. It doesn't seem to be going in.
Yes, this when you advertise to... We'll get it soon, everybody.
Yep.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
They called Dr. Wissam and asked him to let the male medics out. So he did, and they left. This was also very, very humiliating for them, since they were also without clothes. There were around 70 male nurses that left here.
Israeli soldiers storm Kamal Adwan Hospital in North Gaza as part of a three-week siege that's killed over 1,000 Palestinians, mostly women and children. The World Health Organization says Israel's now barred at least six medical aid groups from entering Gaza. We'll speak with the head of one of them, Mossab Nasser, originally from Gaza, now CEO of Fajr Scientific based in Houston. We'll also talk with Israeli political scientist Neve Gordon, one of more than 3,000 signatories to an open letter titled, "We Israelis are calling for global pressure on Israel to force an immediate ceasefire." Then Israel bombed Iranian military facilities and air defense systems Saturday.
The Air Force attacked throughout Iran. We hit hard Iran's defense capabilities and its ability to produce missiles that are aimed at us. The attack in Iran was precise and powerful and achieved all of its objectives.
We'll talk to the Iranian-American analyst Trita Parsi of the Quincy Institute. Finally, President Biden apologizes for government-run Native American boarding schools that tore apart indigenous families and sought to exterminate indigenous culture.
For too long, this all happened with virtually no public attention. Not written about in our history books.
No, what about the people in Gaza?
Not taught in our schools.
For more on Biden's apology and the key role of Native American voters in the presidential election, we'll speak with indigenous activist Nick Tilson. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has urged for a return to diplomacy and, quote, maximum efforts to prevent an all-out regional war after Israel bombed Iranian military facilities and air defense systems Saturday. The strikes included a site linked to Iran's ballistic missile program. Iran said four soldiers were killed. Israel also struck air defense batteries and radars in Syria and Iraq. Iranian President Masoud Pezeshkian said Iran would take an appropriate response to the attack, but he reiterated Iran does not seek a wider war. Israel's attack came about 4 weeks after Iran launched a missile attack on Israeli military sites in response to Israel's mounting assault on Lebanon and Israel's assassination of Hezbollah and Hamas leaders, the Hamas leader they killed in Tehran on the inauguration day of the Iranian president. As the death toll from Israel's 24-day siege on northern Gaza tops 1,000 Palestinians, mostly women and children, the UN's top humanitarian official is warning, quote, the entire population of North Gaza is at risk of dying, unquote. At Kamal Adwan Hospital, Israeli soldiers arrested and expelled nearly all male doctors and staff following its brutal raid. One of the victims of the raid was the hospital's director, Dr. Hassam Abu Safiya's young son, Ibrahim. On Saturday, Dr. Abu Safiya led prayers for his murdered child as he laid him to rest. A nurse who survived the Israeli attack on Kamal Adwan described the siege.
We were all surrounded from all sides. There was shooting from all directions with bombs and mortars, and they evacuated all those who were sheltering here so that everyone leaves, both men and women. They separated men from women and made two queues. It was very, very humiliating for our men since they took them without clothes and nothing to cover with.
Elsewhere in Gaza, an employee of Doctors Without Borders was killed in Khan Yunis, and at least three more journalists were killed in an Israeli airstrike. They were identified as Syed Radwan of Al-Aqsa TV, Hamza Abu Salmiya from Sanad News, and Hanin Mahmoud Barood from the Al-Quds Foundation. Meanwhile, lawyers at the U.S. Justice Department called on Attorney General Merrick Garland to launch investigations into crimes against U.S. citizens committed by Israeli soldiers and settlers in the occupied West Bank, including the killing of the activist Aishanor Aigi. The letter to Garland highlighted the hypocrisy in the department's refusal to acknowledge crimes by Israel while it's been outspoken against Russia's actions in Ukraine. Israeli strikes in the southern Lebanese city of Tyre have killed at least seven people today. The Israeli military issued evacuation orders for large areas of Tyre as it continues its deadly attacks. Meanwhile, Lebanon's health minister says Israeli strikes have targeted 55 hospitals in Lebanon as Israel seeks to impair the country's health infrastructure. Here in the United States, Microsoft has fired two workers who organized a vigil for Gaza. The employees, who are both Arab, belong to the protest group No Azure for Apartheid, which opposes Microsoft's sale of its cloud technology to Israel. Meanwhile, Harvard University has temporarily suspended dozens of students and professors from its libraries after they staged a series of silent study-in protests to bring attention to genocide in Gaza, as well as the crackdown on free speech at Harvard. Here in New York, Donald Trump headlined a major campaign rally at Madison Square Garden Sunday, holding what the New York Times described as a closing carnival of grievances, misogyny, and racism, unquote. During his speech, Trump described Democrats as the, quote, enemy from within, and repeatedly attacked immigrants, claiming the United States is now a, quote, occupied country. Other speakers included Trump's running mate, J.D. Vance, Elon Musk, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Tucker Carlson, Stephen Miller, and Hulk Hogan. The rally began with the conservative comedian Tony Hinchcliffe, who called Puerto Rico an island of garbage.
A lot going on. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah, I think it's called Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico's resident commissioner, Jennifer Gonzalez Colon, called the remarks despicable, inappropriate, and disgusting. During his time on the stage, Tony Hinchcliffe also mocked a black man whom he said carved watermelons for Halloween. Another speaker called Kamala Harris the Antichrist, waving a cross. Democratic vice presidential candidate Governor Tim Walz compared Trump's rally to the pro-Nazi rally held at Madison Square Garden in 1939. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris held major rallies over the weekend, including in Houston, where she campaigned with Beyonce Friday night. Harris addressed abortion rights in her speech.
He brags about overturning Roe v. Wade in his own words, quote, I did it and I'm proud to have done it. That's what he says. And one has to ask, proud that women are dying? Proud that doctors and nurses could be thrown in prison for life, for administering life-saving care?
At a rally in Kalamazoo, Michigan, Michelle Obama took to the stage to warn against another Trump presidency.
I hope that you'll forgive me if I'm a little angry that we are indifferent to his erratic behavior, his obvious mental decline, his history as a convicted felon, a known slumlord, a predator found liable for sexual abuse.
In media news, the Los Angeles Times and the Washington Post are both facing turmoil after the paper's publishers announced no presidential endorsements would be made this year. The LA Times is owned by billionaire Patrick Soon-Shiong, and the Washington Post is owned by Amazon's Jeff Bezos. Two veteran journalists at the LA Times, Robert Greene and Karen Klein, resigned in protest, as did the editorial's editor, Mariel Garza, who wrote, quote, "How could we spend 8 years railing against Trump and the danger his leadership poses to the country and then failed to endorse the perfectly decent Democrat challenger who we previously endorsed for the U.S. Senate," unquote. In other election news, a judge in Virginia has blocked an attempt by the state's Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin to purge close to 2,000 Virginians from the voter rolls. The judge ruled the purge violated the National Voter Registration Act. The UN is warning of atrocious crimes in Sudan's central Khazira state after reports of mass killings by the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces. At least 124 civilians were killed by the RSF over the past week, according to on-the-ground reports. The year-and-a-half-long war in Sudan has killed tens of thousands of people, displaced more than 11 million, and triggered a devastating humanitarian and health crisis. This is a displaced mother in South Kordofan state whose son died of hunger.
I held him up and I found his body stiffened. I carried him and I ran to my neighbor and I asked her to have a look at him. She told me, "Your son is gone." He used to tell me, "When the road to Khartoum opens, we will go back."
In Uruguay, voters will cast ballots in a presidential runoff next month after no candidate obtained sufficient support. After no candidates obtained sufficient support to claim victory in Sunday's election, Yamandu Orsi, a center-left former mayor and history teacher, won the most votes but did not reach the 50% threshold to outright defeat Alvaro Delgado of the ruling center-right Partido Nacional. Orsi is an ally of the former president, José Pepe Mujica, an ex-guerrilla-turned politician who's credited with turning Uruguay into South America's most socially liberal country. Former Bolivian President Evo Morales blamed sitting President Luis Arce after Morales' vehicle came under fire in what Morales said was an attempted assassination Sunday. This comes amidst mounting tensions between Arce and Morales. Both men belong to the ruling MAS party and have announced plans to represent the party in Bolivia's 2025 presidential election. Arce has accused Morales of destabilizing Bolivia by calling for road blockades and protests. Morales has said he's being persecuted by Arce's government, including what he claims are false accusations of statutory rape. And in Arizona, President Biden issued a formal apology for government-run Native American boarding schools, which separated indigenous families and sought to exterminate Native cultures. Interior Secretary Deb Haaland, the first ever Native American cabinet secretary, addressed the event at the Gila Country Community School.
Tens of thousands of indigenous children as young as 4 years old were taken from their families and communities and forced into boarding schools run by the U.S. government and religious institutions. These federal Indian boarding schools have impacted every indigenous person I know. Some are survivors, some are descendants, but we all carry the trauma that these policies and these places inflicted.
Biden's speech was briefly interrupted by an indigenous protester who shouted, "How can you apologize for a genocide while committing a genocide in Palestine?" We'll have more on this story later in the broadcast with Nick Tilson, founder of the indigenous organizing group NDN Collective. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today's show in northern Gaza, where Israel's three-week siege has killed over 1,000 Palestinians, most women and children. Gaza health officials say almost 43,000 Palestinians have been killed in Israeli attacks since October 7th, more than 100,000 wounded, though the toll is likely far higher. On Saturday, Israeli forces withdrew from North Gaza's Kamal Adwan Hospital 1 day after raiding it. Health officials say soldiers detained dozens of male medical staffers and some of the patients. This is a nurse describing how Israeli forces detained the hospital's director.
They called Dr. Hussam and asked him to let the male medics out. So he did, and they left. This was also very, very humiliating for them, since they were also without clothes. There were around 70 male nurses that left here. They took them to the external clinic. They started to destroy things, and we were the only nurses in the hospital without the rest of the medical team.
The nurse mentioned Kamal Adwan Hospital's director, Dr. Hussam Abu Safia, a pediatrician. After Israeli forces retreated from the hospital Saturday, he buried his young son, Ibrahim Hussam Abu Safia, who was reportedly killed Friday in an Israeli strike on Jabalia in northern Gaza.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
The doctor praying and mourning his son in his white hospital coat. This comes as the World Health Organization reports the Israeli government has barred six medical NGOs from entering Gaza. One of them, the Palestinian American Medical Association, released a statement saying, quote, "We urgently demand the Israeli authorities rescind this decision immediately and urge the U.S. State Department, along with international bodies, to advocate for the immediate reinstatement of these vital medical services, which constitute a fundamental human right protected by international law and the moral fabric of our global community," unquote. For more, we go to Houston, Texas, where we're joined by another head of another organization, one of six medical aid groups Israel's banned from entering Gaza. Mossab Nasser is the CEO of Fajr Scientific. He helped lead one of the largest medical missions to Gaza in August of 2023. He was last in Gaza in May during Israel's invasion of Rafah. Nasser also helped renovate parts of Kamal Adwan Hospital in northern Gaza. He is himself originally from Gaza. Thank you so much for being with us as we watch the director of Kamal Adwan, a man you know well, mourn his son, praying at his grave in his white medical coat. Can you talk about who he is and the significance of Kamal Adwan Hospital?
Good morning, Amy. Thank you for having me. Dr. Hussam Abu Safia is a Palestinian hero. He is an amazing, amazing doctor that I have known now maybe for about 4 years. I had several meetings with him when I was in Gaza in 2022 and helped, as I said, renovate the Kamal Adwan Hospital's emergency room and the external clinics, as well as the rehabilitation room for children. Dr. Hussam is the director of the Kamal Adwan Hospital, who, by the way, has a foreign passport. He had the choice, like, you know, many Palestinians, to leave at the beginning of the war, but he refused. And he stood his ground at the Kamal Adwan Hospital to save lives and save limbs and take care of those children who are left stranded in this carnage. Kamal Adwan Hospital is the only children's hospital in North Gaza. It actually serves about 400,000 or 500,000 people in North Gaza. And there's really no other children's hospital. It has the ICU. It has a large room for premature babies with incubators. And it's a central hospital. If that hospital is not functional, you're talking about thousands of children, again, left without any medical support.
You know, we were just speaking with another Mossab, the poet Mossab Abu Toha, on Friday, who talked about bringing his young children to this hospital and talked about the director being a pediatrician, that it's basically the children's hospital there. Mossab Nasser, if you can describe what has happened there in northern Gaza and what happened to this particular hospital, the Israeli forces raiding it, and this description of the doctors and medical aides being stripped naked in front of the others.
Amy, Federal Scientific is a humanitarian, apolitical organization. We are actually specialized in surgical, in complex surgeries. We've been operating in Gaza even before the war. We have a team in the north, a local team that actually serves the different hospitals, including the Indonesian hospital. And the news that we get from the team on the ground that Kamal Adwan Hospital was attacked by the Israeli army. I believe more than 30 medical staff members were actually kidnapped by the Israeli army, including Dr. Hossam briefly, and then he was turned back. So he's left maybe with a couple of doctors and a few nurses to take care of over 150 patients at the hospital. The news that we received also that the Israeli army stripped those doctors naked and literally took them into no one knows where, similar to what happened to our colleagues at Nasser Hospital and Shifa Hospital. I still have many Palestinian colleagues, and I'd like to name a few. Dr. Ghassan Abu Zuhri from Nasser Hospital, who's one of the top surgeons in Gaza, orthopedic surgeons. No one knows his whereabout until today. Dr. Hani Abu Taima, the head of the surgical department at Nasser Hospital, and many others across Gaza. So the disturbing news that we have received is that the Israeli army destroyed the oxygen concentrators and tanks at Kamal Adwan Hospital, leaving children in the ICU and in the incubators without oxygen. Many of them actually have died.
Have you been meeting with U.S. government officials, and what have they said? Also, do you know how Dr. Hossam Abu Safiya's son died? We heard died in the Israeli airstrike on Jabalia.
Regarding your first question, yes. In fact, I just came back from D.C. This past Thursday, where I met with visited offices of a few congressmen and senators. And before I, you know, in fact, I've also visited the State Department in this past visit, trying to advocate for lifting the ban or the denial on the humanitarian medical organizations that were actually denied entry by Israel, especially at this time where we are actually needed on the ground the most. And that decision to ban or deny entry to now six organizations. In fact, initially there was the initial number that we've heard was eight organizations. It's mind-boggling, especially with what's happening in North Gaza. Why would you prevent such organizations from coming to provide their services? Especially the healthcare infrastructure is destroyed. Many of the doctors, the local doctors, have been either killed or kidnapped. The patients are left stranded. No one is providing any help to them. And especially we in Federal Scientific were actually specialized in surgical interventions. And many of the injuries that come to the hospitals across Gaza are blast injuries, broken bones, broken skulls, all kinds of multiple degrees of burns. So those patients require an immediate attention. And if you don't provide this attention to them, many of them actually will die a slow and painful death because of infections. Regarding Dr. Hossam's son, I really don't know the details surrounding his death, but I was told that he was killed in an Israeli airstrike in Jabalia, as you mentioned.
Finally, I wanted to ask you about a tweet of yours. You're talking about a girl. Maziona is one of the children Fajr has been trying to evacuate out of Gaza for months now. She sustained devastating injuries to her face. Her face was nearly torn off. Surgeons have held the remaining structure together, but she urgently requires a medevac for specialized care and bone surgery. She also still has shrapnel in her neck. She's, of course, in immense pain. Her condition's worsening. The platinum used surgically to rebuild her face is coming out. Doctors have stated she needs surgeries outside Gaza to save her life. Maziona has been denied medical evacuation four times. Authorities suggested the medevac could proceed without Maziona's mother accompanying her. However, when her father attempted to take the next steps, Maziona was again denied. Explain her fate right now, where she is.
That is another heartbreaking story, Amy, that I have been personally, as the CEO of the organization, following closely and advocating for Maziona's evacuation for almost 3 months now. I can't tell you how many times I visited the State Department, how many times I talked to congressmen, how many times I've tried to reach to the Israeli authorities to try to evacuate her out of Gaza with no results. Maziona was injured in the face, a serious injury. I mean, she has a viral video on Instagram and YouTube that you see how, when she was brought to the hospital, how she was bleeding. Initially, we submitted her mother as a companion. The mother was rejected by COGAT, the Israeli authority, effectively. Then we submitted her father's name. Then her father was rejected. Then we submitted the father's aunt. Then it was rejected. And then we submitted another aunt of the father. It was rejected. So we are kind of left without any options. I don't know. You know, to the point, actually, I proposed my name to be a companion for Maziona to get her out, and still we have not been able to get her out. In fact, the recent update we got from the local team on the ground that she has potentially an infection, and if this girl is not evacuated as soon as possible, she could die. Maziona is one out of thousands, Amy. In fact, we have 12 children like Maziona with serious injuries, some of them actually with a bullet settled in the head. That we wanted to take out, and we have not been able to take any of them. So far, since May, since the closure of the Rafah border, we were able, I mean, generally speaking, only 125 children were evacuated out of Gaza, out of 2,500, if not more, needed an immediate evacuation. So this carnage needs to stop.
Musab Nasser, I want to thank you for being with us, CEO of Fajr Scientific, one of six medical humanitarian organizations Israel's barred from entering Gaza. He's based in Houston and originally from Gaza. Next up, we turn to Israeli political scientist Niamh Gordon. He's in London. He's one of more than 3,000 signatories to an open letter titled, "We Israelis Are Calling for Global Pressure on Israel to Force an Immediate Ceasefire." Back in 20 seconds.
While going home, what do you want me to do for you, to see you through? It's all a dream we dream one afternoon long ago. Walk into splintered sunlight. It's your way through dead dreams to another land.
Maybe Box of Rain by the Grateful Dead. The band's founding bass player, Phil Lesh, died Friday at the age of 84. In 1965, Lesh was volunteering at Pacifica radio station KPFA in the Bay Area when he met his future bandmate, Jerry Garcia. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We Israelis are calling for global pressure on Israel to force an immediate ceasefire. That's the headline of an open letter signed by more than 3,000 Israelis, along with our next guest, the Israeli political scientist Niamh Gordon. The letter concludes by noting, "The leaders of many countries make repeated statements about the horror they feel and verbally denounce Israel's operations, but these condemnations are not backed by practical actions. We're replete with empty words and declarations. Please, for our futures and the futures of all the residents of Israel and the region, save us from ourselves and use real pressure on Israel for an immediate ceasefire," the letter says. For more, we go to London. We're joined by Niamh Gordon, professor of international law and human rights at Queen Mary University of London. His recent Al Jazeera article is headlined, Israel's Taken Human Shields to a Whole New Criminal Level. He's co-author of Human Shields, A History of People in the Line of Fire, and co-editor of Torture, Human Rights, Medical Ethics, and the Case of Israel. Niamh Gordon, welcome back to Democracy Now! Can you start off actually by talking about what this letter says and the number of people is the last time we looked, it was 2,000 Israelis who've signed it. Now it's over 3,000. Professor Gordon.
There's a feeling among Israelis that the change cannot come from within. We do not have enough power from within to change the course of actions that Netanyahu and his government have put in place. And the only way to stop the violence, to stop the genocidal violence in Gaza, to stop the violence in